Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
This is Wonderful, a show where we talk about things we like that's good that we're into. And thank you all so much for joining us. We hope it's I hope you're staying cool out there. Popsicle. That's my number one recommendation for you. Glop one of those down. Sweet, syrupy beauties, cold. Keeping it cold, lower the blood temperature.
And may I personally recommend a freeze pop that comes in its own little plastic sleeve, because cuts the mess like by 90%.
Also cuts the sides of your mouth and make you look like a joker. I say no to that. I say go for it, shoot for it. It's a kadoozy. Go for a bomb pop. Go for a
You're
Philly
okay with
swirl.
The drip?
Am I okay with the drip? Yeah, I mean, if I have to choose between getting a sticky hand or joker smile, I'm going to go with sticky hand 100% of the time.
Okay.
Because the Joker's a bad dude, and I don't want, even want people to think I'm, like, of his friend or something.
I mean, couldn't you get Joker smile from any popsicle?
The sharp plastic sides of the freezy pop, when you put it in your... You're laughing. Like, this isn't a real... Everybody at home, you're the only person right now, under the power of my voice right now, that's laughing. Everybody at home is like, you should take this more seriously, Rachel.
Does this happen to you every time?
The sharp plastic sides of the freezy pop cut my mouth and give me a Joker smile?
Yeah,
every single time.
I feel like this has maybe happened to me once, tops.
Okay, and that's okay for you to get a Joker smile one time and then have it for the rest of your life?
I guess I choose disfigurement over mess.
That's very telling and powerful. Do you have a small wonder?
I am watching Fleischman is in Trouble.
Okay.
And I'm enjoying it very much. It has Adam Brody and Claire Danes and Jesse Eisenberg.
Close personal friend of the show, Jesse
Eisenberg. Yeah, former guest of...
Former guest of Movement Bam.
Yeah. And it's like one of those shows that I... It's kind of like Succession and Mad Men, and a lot of those shows that Griffin and I never really watched together because the characters are largely unlikable.
Mm.
But I like watching those shows by myself because I have like a deep pit of darkness inside me.
Sure.
And I feel seen in those shows, I guess, in those moments.
Well, that's not fair, I don't think, to you. I don't watch those shows because they usually are filled with unlikable characters doing unlikable things.
Uh-huh.
You are exceedingly likable.
Well, thank you for saying that.
So I disagree with your thesis, but I'm glad you are enjoying it. I do miss seeing Adam Brody, friend of the show, Adam Brody on this.
Yeah,
I mean, he did a thing for Candle Nights once. Yeah. Boy, our web is a wide one, eh?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say, this has been this segment in particular has been a real Brennan love fest, but we just finished Dungeons and Drag Queens, the most recent season of Dimension 20, and good God almighty, it was good.
Oh,
holy
so good. I mean,
it's the only one you've watched, right, of the Dimension 20?
Well, except
20,
for Tiny Heist.
Tiny Heist, right, which is the one that we did.
I mean, the nature of the show is that everybody on it totally has to buy in. So I don't know how they cast this to find exactly the right people, but it feels like exactly the right people.
Bob the Drag Queen, Alaska, Monet Exchange, and Jujubee.
Yes.
Four like known performers, all stars from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Definitely not like necessarily like...
Who I would have
like, you don't look at all those people and think, like, oh, they for sure play Dungeons & Dragons.
No, but it runs the gamut of, like, storytelling confidence, like, mechanics confidence from, like, just sort of across the board, right? Like, Bob the Drag Queen is very, like, I'm going to do this thing with this move that is very, like, clever. And, you know, I've put a lot of thought into this one move that I want to make. Versus, like, a Jujubee who's coming at it from a much more sort of amateur level. But... There is something very good about that perspective whenever Jujubee does like a dope move or something like a very powerful storytelling moment.
Yeah.
That is like because of the newcomer perspective. It is something that is sort of impossible to recapture, that feeling of like someone's first time playing Dungeons and Dragons and like sort of realizing what it is capable of. It's genuinely magical, and you get that in huge quantities in this
watched really it on the Dropout platform, but I think it's on YouTube now.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they are rolling it out. Usually there's a delayed release on on YouTube. But yeah, I can't recommend it enough. It's good shit. And just wild about it. I go first this week.
Yes.
You ready?
No, you got a little smirk.
Birds.
Now, are you wearing that shirt specifically?
Oh, no. I'm wearing a shirt that Travis got me that looks like almost like a neon sign. I don't know how to describe it, but it's got a goose on it. It says Silly Goose. No, I just, you know, I like the shirt. No, I'm not wearing it. These guys are great, though. Birds, love them. I'm not like a bird guy, which I feel like I have to clarify.
That's important.
Because we know bird people.
Yeah, bird people always want to be watching birds.
They have a dedication to the craft that, like, I would never, like, pretend to possess. And yeah. So, like, I don't want to be a poser. But I do want to say to bird people, like, I get it. These guys are great. First things first, they fly. That's wild. Like, we're so used to it. But then, like, you look at all the ground animals, and you're like, those are animals. And then you look up at in the sky and there's animals there too. That's fucking wild. You look up at like a power line and there's like 20 birds, or like you're looking up at like the rafters at Lowe's and there's animals up there, I guess. That's wild. When you're in LaGuardia Airport and you look up and there's animals flying around, like,
yeah,
this is the airport. Cool. This is wild. I feel like I'm in Jumanji.
Structurally, a bird is surprising too, because like the wings, it's not like they seem muscular.
So weak.
They seem very weak, and the bodies are relatively dense. And so it's like, how are those?
How are they doing it?
How are these things working?
But they figured it out, man, and good for them. They're basically the only animal that sings, and they do it all the time in all kinds of different ways. And you can just always hear it. If you open up a window and wait a few seconds, you're going to hear a bird. That's cool. That they're just sort of ever present, no matter sort of where you are, you can almost always hear a bird. And if we didn't hear a bird, it would be very quiet, wouldn't it?
It's kind of like it's a bird's world and we're just living in it.
That's a really good way of putting it, because they're everywhere. They can do ground stuff too, but like it's wild that they're in the sky, but they can do ground stuff, tree stuff, like I said, power line stuff, Lowe's stuff.
Water stuff sometimes.
Water stuff, sure. And also you can always hear them. That's not true of any. I can't always hear a squirrel. Can't always hear a dog. Sometimes, but not always. Always with birds, though. Always. That's bonkers. A lot of them look really cool. Obviously, you got big dinosaur looking ones. You got like colorful birds of paradise and like badass looking hawks and shit. Sometimes you're like looking out the window and you see a bright red cardinal. And I think it's a very human experience that every time that happens, you point it out to everybody else in the room like, ooh.
Yeah.
That bird's very, ooh, that bird's very red.
I love seeing a cardinal.
I love seeing a cardinal or similar red bird. Happened a lot in West Virginia, state bird. We love them. They're fucking cardinal crazy in West Virginia. But, you know, robins. A blue jay, if I see it, like a beautiful bright blue jay, that's I'm gonna have a celebration. I'm gonna make sure everybody within the power of my voice knows about that blue bird. A lot of them also really cute.
Tiny little hummingbird,
a little thrush of any variety,
the littlest faces,
a little big round puffin. Love it, because they're birds too.
That's what's crazy to me. Okay, so like, you know, when you're at the zoo and they make a big difference between monkeys and apes.
Yep.
And it's like, no, these are totally different things, even though they kind of look similar and have a lot of the same qualities. Birds, it's like there's penguin and flamingo,
yes,
and robin, and they're all birds.
I'll jump ahead here a little bit. Birds are mostly divided into two big camps. And they are, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this, but I think it's one that's like different depending on where you live. Passerines, which are perching birds, which make up about 60% of all bird types,
okay.
And non-passerines, which is everything else, right? Passerines are sort of categorized by the arrangement of their toes. They got three going forward, one going back. You know, you look down, you see bird footprints. That's a bird. That's, you know, the traditional three toes up, one toe down.
Okay.
That's a passerine, right? So that's sort of like the roughest big grouping that you have, that sort of ape versus monkey type thing, right? I love them no matter what camp they fall into. They lay eggs, which is always fun. Like, it's like a little slime bag, like a little surprise box. Like, what's in there? Probably a bird.
Do you have stuff on Ness? Do you have stuff on Ness?
No, I didn't even... That's what's... This is... I knew I was going to forget something. Birds are so fucking cool that I didn't even bring up the fact that they build their own little houses out there.
I am hoping that everyone that is listening to this has had the opportunity to see a bird nest up close, because so cool. It is a marvel.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I couldn't make one with my human hands and a bunch of little sticks. If you sat me down and you said, you have a day, make a nest, I wouldn't know how to fucking do that.
Well, it's like there's dampness in there. It seems like it's mud.
I think it's barf. I think it's like spit and barf and stuff.
Yeah.
I do think it is that. Yeah.
It's just they hold together real well.
They hold together super duper well. They're geniuses, these birds, except for when they get into a house. Then they're not. Then they have fallen. Then the shit falls off the wagon real fast, don't
there's, it? There's part of your brain. This has happened to us before, because our cat Cecil used to bring in birds as a gift that were not entirely dead. And a lot of times they were just stunned. And when we would go to try and remove said bird, it would fly wildly around our house. And there's a part of your brain that's just like, well, I guess I live with a bird now.
I have a bird friend. It's like I live at LaGuardia Airport. Bird scientists aren't quite sure how many different types of birds there are. They're estimated to be between 9,000 and 10,000 species based on sort of like traditional bird identifying models. But there's some scientists who think there's just like a hidden biodiversity of like crossbreeding birds.
Okay.
That, you know, look like one type of bird, but may in fact be a hybrid that's sort of doing its own thing. So that number may be twice as high. That's a lot of fucking birds.
Wow.
That's a lot of lots of different types of birds. Birds are an important part of the whole sort of interconnected ecosystem. This experiment we call Earth, they help with pest control. Huge. Love that, birds. Please keep it up. They help pollinate plants. Their poop is fertilizer, so there's lots of birds who eat seeds, poop the seeds out, and self-fertilizes the seed to create life.
Interesting.
They spread plants between different sort of like biomes. They do just incredible work.
I had to kind of explain the other day to Henry, because there was something that I was sure was bird poop, and he was like, well, but that's not the color bird poop is. And I was like, well, let's get into this.
Did you know all bird poop is guano? I thought that was just bat poop from the Ace Ventura film. I was lied to by Ace Ventura, which is like the only time that's ever happened to me. I also want to give a shout out to sort of unsung heroes. And this is a fact that like I really changed a lot of my biases when I learned it, which is carrion birds. They're creepy, right?
Yeah.
And you see them and you're like, uh-oh. Something's dead.
Yeah.
But they also are like nature's janitors. They clean up dead ass animals, which helps to dramatically reduce the spread of disease.
Yeah.
And also control the populations of way more dangerous, like carrion eating mammals, like wild, you know, dogs and shit like that. What they do, so much work to pick up. I don't know if you've ever tried to get like animal control out to like clean up a animal that has passed away before its time, sadly, but it can sometimes just not work. You know what will work though? A big hungry bird that will come just like handle that for you, bub.
I love this.
It's not pretty looking work, but it's essential and they do a great fucking job.
I love this glass is half full approach. I feel like it's like me saying, like, I keep the world from having too many Oreos. Like, thank these birds that survive on these dead animals, because otherwise we would have too many. And thank you, Rachel, for eating Oreos so that we don't have too many of those either.
I want to try and find this article I found about birds. It's a really interesting buzzard fact that I wish I'm not going to find this. I'm not going to find this article. Anyway, they do a lot of important stuff, carrion birds. They help keep places from like getting overpopulated by dangerous animals and stinky disease-ridden corpses. And that's fucking pretty cool, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else I want to say about birds? They're rad. They're functional. They're aesthetically appealing. They're vital contributors to the ecosystem. They're just great. I think there's a version of my life where I was a, where I could be a bird person. I do feel like.
Oh, I thought you were going to say where you were a bird.
I think there's a version of my life where I was a bird. And boy, that's the coolest, right? Like if reincarnation is like real and you come back, you go from human to bird. I mean, either way, if you're a bird, birds are probably looking at humans like, they got it so good. They can just like go buy seeds at the store.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, humans are looking up at birds like, you guys are so fucking free. You're having a good time. You're helping the ecosystem.
Yeah, that's what I think when I see a bird, I think.
It is now for me. Yeah. Keep it up, birds. You all are okay in my book. Maybe I should. Maybe we should just get a bird feeder. But then squirrels come and take that. And you know me.
I think we see plenty of birds.
I guess we do see plenty of birds. Can we put it in a way and we put up a sign that says, like, this isn't for you, squirrels?
Mm.
No? So they get plenty of stuff. Like, they eat nuts. And here I'm sounding anti-squirrel.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair of us to say what animals can do what in their world, you know?
No, but if I put up a bird feeder, I know that a bunch of birds are going to come by and have a little nibble. One fucking wily squirrel, and that bird feeder is like toast, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not interested in links to bird feeders that I can buy online. I'll do that research myself. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep.
And
Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
I'm Jordan Morris.
And I'm Jesse Thorne.
On Jordan Jesse Go, we make pure, delightful nonsense.
We rope in awesome guests
and bring them down to our level.
We get stupid with Judy Greer.
My friend Molly and I call it having the space weirds.
Patton Oswalt.
Could I get a Balrog burger and some Aragorn fries? Thank you.
And Kumail Nanjiani.
I've come back with cat toothbrushes, which is impossible to use.
Come get stupider with us at MaximumFun.org.
Look, your podcast app's already open. Just pull it out. Give Jordan Jesse Go a try.
Being smart is hard. Be dumb instead.
Okay, zebras, orangutans. Oh,
yes, sorry. Hi.
Not used to the animals talking. Who are you?
Yes, my name's Carrie Poppy. I co-host a podcast called Ona, Ross, and Carrie. This is my co-host Ross right here.
Okay.
We investigate spirituality, claims of the paranormal, and we were wondering if we could get on the Ark.
You did come two by two. I appreciate that. Though most of the things I'm letting on the Ark don't talk.
I'm going to be talking all up on this boat. Do you mind both?
I prefer Ark or
okay,
barge.
I'm not listening, but... if you let me on, mm-hmm. then I will make my really good podcast on your boat.
Can you
barge.
At least help clean up all the poop?
I guess I don't see why not.
Well, I'll check out the podcast. Where do I find it?
It's on MaximumFun.org.
What do you got?
My thing this week is cake mix.
Oh, yes.
Just like a box of yellow cake mix.
Oh, boy. One of the great baking innovations.
Yes.
Of modern history.
Yes. I feel like it equalizes the playing field when
in
it comes
huge way.
To baking a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And in the way it's designed, it's usually like, oh, do you have an egg? Do you have oil? You're ready to make a cake. You know?
Yeah, like it's like not. It's like, do you have one egg and oil? What were you going to do with that? Fry the egg? I have something better for you. A whole fucking cake. How about that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I'm not somebody who would have ever thought to have like start a cake from scratch. But I mean, I've made a box cake before.
Sure.
It's available to me anytime I want it.
And it's not even like... It doesn't feel like cheating, right? It's not like you get a roll of cookie dough from the store and you slice it up and you put that in the oven. You don't say like, I baked Rachel's special brand of cookies. But box cake mix, I feel like because you do have to add shit to it and blend it up, that's cooking, baby.
This is so interesting that you say that because that is a big part of what I was reading about.
Okay, this like psychological sort of difference between cake mix
yeah,
and cookie
about
dough.
How people want to feel like they're doing something.
Yeah, sure.
Because initially, cake mix, they had the possibility of not adding an egg. They just did powdered egg. Like you could just add water.
Ugh.
And people were not as into it. And they realized like people wanted to add their own eggs. Now, this gets a little fraught, but I will get to that.
Okay.
Because I'm not entirely...
Did I just step in it?
No. I'm not entirely sure that I believe...
in powdered eggs? That powdered eggs is something that exists?
No, in this reasoning that people want to feel like they're doing something.
Okay.
Okay, anyway. So, 1930, John Duff applied for a patent for a, quote, invention that relates to a dehydrated flour for use in making pastry products and to a process of making the same.
Sure. Okay.
The whole idea is that like World War II, everybody had a lot of molasses. I don't really know how that happened.
Just World War II, like, yeah, we fucking got them. We won. Oh my God, I'm super... Now that the war is over and we can kind of turn our eyes back towards the home, there's molasses fucking... We are lousy with this sticky stuff.
There's this culinary historian. This is from an article in Bon Appetit magazine in 2013, who says, quote, what it was really about was using up molasses. People were eating differently and food and how they made it had changed drastically. So Duff figured out how to dry it and add it to a flour mix. Apparently, Duff's recipe for every 100 pounds of flour called for 100 pounds of molasses.
Good Lord.
Yeah. What ended up happening, so 1933, 1934, Duff worked with like Duncan Hines, for example, to make not just cake, but like nut bread and bran muffins and fruit cake. This idea that you could like put anything in a box. At the time, it was 21 cents per can.
Okay.
Yeah.
per can?
Yeah, I guess this was went back when people were buying everything in cans.
Okay. I guess plastics technology hadn't really hit that point yet. I like it. Fine.
So there were companies like Pillsbury that stuck with the just add water approach for a really long time.
In college? Absolutely.
But at the end of the 1940s, 200 companies were putting out cake mixes, mostly Betty Crocker. And the whole marketing was like, add water and two of your own fresh eggs.
Your own that you made.
Uh-huh. So this kept up until around the 1950s when the sales of cake mix flattened out. And they brought in this person named Ernest Dichter to do what he basically started, which was focus groups. The idea was that he was focused on motivational research. So instead of just saying, like, what are you buying and how much of it, like trying to figure out why people made the decisions they made. And so he brought in a bunch of people to ask them, like, basically more or less what was unappealing about cake mix, you know? And his takeaway was that people wanted to feel their own hand in it.
Right.
You know, that they wanted the to feel like feeling. They were doing something.
I thought you meant like they like to just sort of like goop their hand into the...
That adding the eggs made them feel like they were cooking.
Sure.
Basically.
That makes sense to me.
What I think is interesting, there's like a lot at play here because I think it's like the 1950s too. I think there, what the things that I'm not seeing in these articles that I think is really interesting is the like one, the guilt, you know, yeah. This idea that you are coming into an era of more convenience, which is lessening your role and potentially like lessening what you think of as like the ideal, you know, mother or partner, spouse or whatever.
Right.
Like I am cheating. I am using a box, you know, right. Like if I were really better at this, I would make a cake from scratch and I would, you know, add my eggs.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. I also think this idea of like wanting to be more involved is interesting, especially a lot of what I saw too was in addition to the eggs, they started focusing on frosting. This idea, like what they called homemaking magazines at the time, showcased elaborate cake constructions. So it would be more like, how do you make this cake look like a football field?
But I mean, that's the thing still now, right?
I know.
Like, anytime you look at any recipe, like poke cakes were like the biggest shit in the world for such a long time in the you know, amateur baking realm. And it was literally just make a cake. Like step one, make a cake.
Yeah.
Step two, now to do a bunch of wild jazz to it. But first, you have to just make a cake. With the cake mix, you know, it's easy. You do the one thing and then you have a cake. Do that first.
Yeah, because I feel like I've talked to so many people and it's not uncommon when somebody makes a cake out of a box to admit it immediately.
Yeah.
To like say it like guiltily at the beginning of just like, well, it's from a box. But look, you know, I turned it into Garfield.
Yeah.
And like, that's some kind of apology in a way of like, well, no, but look, I put my time in. I made this cake look like an orange cat.
I just be-reeled you so hard. Sorry, babe. It went off. I had to snap you.
So, yeah. So I think there's a lot of like interesting like levels here. I think it's interesting that Dichter got a bunch of women together to get them.
I hardly know her.
To get them to talk. To get them to talk about their feelings about cake and cake mix, which I think ultimately probably turned into a larger, more complicated conversation.
Sure.
About like guilt. And lack of time and the kind of like discomfort with this like modern convenience that is like taking some of their agency away, but also giving them more time to do more things for themselves. Like, I feel like there's a lot happening here, but instead it's like, let's focus on icing and make sure they add eggs.
Yeah.
So I was reading a lot like, what's really happening here? I want to see the transcripts of these focus groups, because part of me is just like, people really just wanted to add their own eggs because that made them feel like they were cooking more. I was like, there's something deeper happening there.
Now, let me say this, though, devil's advocate. If I gave you a side-by-side taste test, one of these was a just add water cake, or was it add oil and eggs cake? I feel like I could tell the difference.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. So I'm reading all these articles that say, like, Americans just wanted to add their own eggs because they felt uncomfortable with powdered eggs. And then I read another article that was like, although the cake did taste better.
It is better. It's less dry and way better. Yeah.
So yeah, so that what turned into just a real, like, sincere interest in box cake because I love it and I get excited when I see it, turned into like a deeper examination of feminism and what modern society has done to our roles in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So it was a surprisingly complex topic for me.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Hey, I want cake so fucking bad right now.
You know what I've never made is a layer cake. I'm super intimidated by it.
It just seems greedy to me.
I mean, I think you just kind of cut off the round part and then you stack them on top of each other with frosting in the middle. I don't think it's actually hard, but I have seen a lot of people on Nailed It that don't let the cakes cool and then they turn into soupy messes.
But I do just want a cake, like a cake. No, I don't need a cake burger.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the layer's so pretty.
The layer's so pretty, but I'm very utilitarian.
It's like surprise extra frosting.
The only thing I care about the aesthetics of is birds anymore. That's pretty much it for me.
Cool.
Got some submissions from our friends at home. Daniel says, my wonderful thing is concept albums. Albums that tell a connected, continuous story through the songs in them. With the release of the jazz fusion Anti-Mai by The Deer Hunter last year and the prog rock The Fox and the Bird this year by OK Goodnight, I've been utterly basking in the music. I love a concept album, even when I don't even like the music that much. I think all time for me is Hazards of Love by the Decemberists. Adore that album. That's the one that's like a fairy tale sort of story about a woman falls in love with like a forest elf.
I don't think I know this.
Oh, really? Oh, man, it beats ass. It's so good. It came out once when me and Justin and Travis had to go on a, not had to, we went on a road trip to Chicago, drove there, saw a Harvey Danger concert, and then drove back that night. Just listened to Hazards of Love the whole time. It was great. Great, great try. Do you have a concept album that you have any particular fondness for?
I was trying to think. I mean, I probably do, but I don't ever really think about them that way.
Was Tommy a concept album before it was a musical by The Who?
Again, I don't know.
Okay. Amy says, I think to-do lists are wonderful. I make one for myself every day, always including something easy to cross off my list like making the bed. Having my little list of to-dos for the day helps me stay focused and productive, which is a wonderful feeling.
I have kind of been trying to do the opposite.
Interesting.
Almost like an already done list. Because I feel like at the end of the day, a lot of times I struggle to think about like what I've accomplished.
Yeah.
You know, like it'll get to be like 5 o'clock or whatever. And I'll think like, what did I do today?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. And then I realize like if I at least just write down like, oh, I made muffins and I did the laundry and whatever. Sure. Like it's like, oh, good. I did do something.
That's good. There needs to be some middle ground between a to-do list and a have done list. Because I have a to-do list I swear by. I do. Every day I have, there's like a website. It's called Todoist is the name of the website
of course
platform. It's great. People who are part of our like company use it. And so we can like send items to each other to knock out. But then I have my own like recurring daily to-do list things and then like weekly to-do list things. And I keep my appointments on there and I have a little widget on my phone. So it's always like in the background of my phone. Like I swear by it. But also, sometimes I'll be banging stuff out and I will also do some other thing that is good.
Uh-huh.
Like I built a shed.
The shed.
Huge effort. Yeah. Not on the to-do list. So it's like, what? That was for nothing. So it's a to-do list that also turns into a I guess every to-do list turns into a to-done list.
I promise that I will continue to make a big deal out of that shed.
Thank you. It is a gorgeous, very spacious shed. I love it so much.
I know. Like, we could easily hide in there if we had to.
We could hide in there if we needed to. Let's hide in there. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows there. We got merch over at McElroyMerch.com, including a Poetry Corner candle.
Yes.
We'll have some new stuff coming next month. It's going to be here very soon. That's it for the immediate.
You were just in San Diego.
We were just in San Diego. Great to see everyone.
What's next? Do you know?
I don't know what is public, but if you go to McElroyTours.com, you can find out, or McElroy.family, that'll
ooh,
work too.
Teaser. I don't
know
what is,
well, no, it may all be announced, and I just don't know about it. So just go there. We have more shows coming up.
Sure, Griffin's name is on the tin, but that doesn't mean he knows what's in the tin.
No, it's a big fucking tin. Thank you all so much. And
in the words of birds.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.